Our New Testament lesson is from Ephesians. Our epistle reading is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And as I read this, remember these words that I say when I move to the lesson that you'll find in John, and you'll see that the words of John sum up these words of Paul in a very brief sentence. Hear now the word of our Lord. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit, who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now we turn to the gospel lesson. In John chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. And this contains the most familiar scripture. They say if you ask people, stand up and ask people to say what, you know, to tell me the name of a Bible verse that you know, and they might look at you blankly, but if you say, quote John 3:16, they'll rattle it off right away. So, this context of this scripture is, if you recall, Jesus was approached in the dark of night by Nicodemus. And he was on the Sanhedrin. He was one of the leaders of the Jews. And he came to ask Jesus how he could find salvation. And don't you recall, Jesus told him, you must be born again. And of course, when Nicodemus said, you know, he said, how can this be? Jesus went into his explanation of, first he chastised him as a leader of the Jews for not knowing what the scriptures mean. And then he went in and talked about how of giving him the answer to life and life eternal. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now that sums up everything we read in the first reading. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. And this is the word of our Lord. Last week, I asked you the question. How do you show God you love him? It's a question that, frankly, would make me squirm in my seat, and it made me squirm in my chair when I thought about it myself. How does God know that I love him? This week, the question is different. It's less uncomfortable, but no less unimportant. This week, the question is, how do you know God loves you? I use the capture of, I love you this much. It's all familiar with when you ask a little child, how much do I love you? And they stretch their arms, I love you this much. And if they had twice as much arm, they would be twice as wide. That's what God is saying to us in this scripture today. For God so loved the world, how much? Enough to give his only son for you. When you read the minutes of our session meeting this past week, hadn't been approved by the next session meeting, but once it comes out, you will read my letter to my report. And in this report, you will note that I talk about us having been blessed with having a fuller session than we've had for a while, and having more members and new members on the session, and what a blessing that is. But one of the things I want the session to spend time doing is praying for you. I want our session to be a session of prayer. Our session to be a session praying for intervention in your lives, in the lives of this congregation. But I would like this congregation to be a congregation of believers who pray for the session members. But I don't want you to pray for the, I don't want the session to pray for the congregation at Tomahawk Presbyterian Church. That doesn't mean a lot. It's a nice thing, sounds good, doesn't mean a lot. What I'm asking the session to do is to pray for each and every one of you by name. And I am asking you, the congregation, to pray for each and every one of the session members by name. Because this is how your Father loves you. He loves you and knows your name. And he knows you personally by name. How much do I love you? I gave my only son so that you, though undeserving and unworthy, will have life and have it abundantly and have it eternally, forever. Because I know you by name. That's what the Lord has responded to you. That's how the Lord has shown you how much he loves you. That is how we are to accept the love of the Lord. Now, when John talks about how we have sinned, and Christ talks about how we have sinned and we were born into sin, and how those who believe are saved, if you get into the details, Those who are saved are also the sinners. Those who are saved will continue to sin. The difference is we don't dwell in the sin and live in the sin, but we slip, we fail. We don't gain perfection in this world. We gain salvation. We can't earn that because nothing, as Paul said, lest we boast, nothing we can do can bring us our salvation. It is only by grace, only as a gift. But we can embrace it, and we can love the one who loves you first. This congregation must become a praying congregation every day, all day, praying. Our nation is suffering. Our church is suffering. Our neighborhood is suffering. Our people are suffering. And we need to be a people who do as our Father commanded, to love one another as we love ourselves. We know our needs, and we need to share those needs with our neighbor. We need to spend time praying for this nation and this church and this congregation. While we can't do it for the nation and the larger church, for this particular church, we can pretty much pray for each other by name. If you don't have a copy of the church directory, pick it up. It has both our members and friends. And I can hardly tell which are which. I sincerely hope that you will take time to make a dedicated prayer for the people in this congregation and the people on the serving on the session in particular, a daily routine. There's not that many people, doesn't take that much time, but my goodness, can it make a difference. Throughout our nation's history, groups of people have gathered together in prayer, and tremendous things have been done. Tremendous changes have occurred. And as we see, yet in Texas, another state about ready to approve marijuana, as we see the marriage laws falling state by state, as we see the laws governing everything that we thought we grew up thinking we understood falling by the wayside, we know that we can not depend, if we ever could, on government to teach us right and wrong, to government to rule what is moral and what is unjust. It is you and I that have to make that decision, that have to know that, and we can only know that through the Word of God. But God has given that Word. Why? Because He loves you. Great words of wisdom you learn at a very early age. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, so that you might have life. How do I know you love me? I know how God loves me. I know God loves me. And I know He loves me personally and knows me by name. And that is how we are to love one another, personally and by name. Not corporately, but personally. Yes, we can pray for our nation. Yes, we can pray for our state. And yes, we can pray for our community, and we absolutely need to. But for those that we know and those that we love, we need to pray for them by name. And if you have to set aside extended time to do that in a day, there'll be no greater investment that you can make. So often we get frustrated because we think we can't make a difference in this world. You can make a difference in this world. You have an inside track. You have a friend at a high place. You know the Creator. It doesn't get any higher than that. It doesn't get any more inside than that. How long has it been since the Creator has heard your cry? How long has it been since the Creator has heard your plea for your brothers and sisters, for the distress of this nation, for the distress of the church, for the distress of our communities? I saw, it seems every day I look in the paper, local papers, and I see another drug bust, another car has stopped carrying heroin north to south or from Baltimore or wherever they bring it in. Seems that it never ends. What can you do? You can pray. Every day we look in the papers and look at the news and we see the heartbreaking things that are going on around us. What can you do? You can pray. Prayer does make a difference. If you look through the Bible, what did Jesus do? It says over and over again, he went to a solitary place and he prayed. If Jesus felt the need to pray, to be in communion with his Father, how much more do you and I require that? Throughout the Old Testament, all through the New Testament, it talks about the people gathering in prayer, the people spending time in prayer, the people spending days and hours and extended time in prayer. And we become very, very lax in our prayer life as a body of believers. And we wonder why things are going so badly in this world. You can make a difference, but you have to be different. You can't make a difference by being the same as the world. We have to make a difference by being different than the world. And I call you to take seriously your prayer life and take seriously that. And one of the parts of faith is believing that God hears. And more importantly, believing that God cares. It's important to be able to quote Scripture and to know Scripture and to know about the Bible and to educate yourself in that. But nothing compares to spending time with the Father through Jesus Christ in prayer. We know that He loves us. He could have done nothing more than to watch His Son be beaten and tortured and nailed to the cross and hanging there to let die to show His love for you and for me. We know how much He loves us. We need to reach out to that Father who loves you personally, by name, and to call upon Him in prayer every day. And particularly hold up the people in this congregation in your prayer in the session and help us to go the way that the Lord has ordained. I used to teach a thing in my sales training. It says sometimes you spend 5 minutes selling and 20 minutes buying it back. Shut up. So I'll shut up. Amen.